And I say to you that, listen, please be seated. So I wonder what you would do if you were preaching this Sunday with these lessons in front of you. What would you choose? Russell, Bishop Russell and I had this conversation earlier in the week. He said, which one are you going to pick? I said, well, nobody wants to mess up 1 Corinthians passage, right? Imperishable, and is your body a seed being sown? I couldn't follow it. I don't know if you could or not. And certainly the gospel seems a little rough, right? Love your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. Do good for them. Don't judge people. We don't want to mess with any of that stuff, right? I mean, the Genesis passage is the obvious choice. This sweet story of Joseph and his brothers being reunited after they sold him into slavery. I've got 4 brothers. I would have gotten rid of any one of them at a point in time in my life as well. I can relate to that story. It has a great ending too, right? You thought this was going to be to evil, but instead God made it something good. And then it hit me, and it was that song that did it for me. Give me Jesus. I love that song. It's one we sing in Curcio and other places. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. So I think I'll preach on the gospel. Give me Jesus. We can all agree that's the right approach. In light of today's gospel, though, I wonder, seriously wonder, if we really mean it. Or perhaps we want to say which Jesus we mean when we say, give me Jesus. I was watching a movie the other day. It's one of these very artsy films. It's kind of like in line with Schindler's List and some of these really, you know, just beautifully done films. It's called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. You might have heard of that. But there's a fantastic scene in that movie when they're about to eat dinner together. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And Will Ferrell, who plays Ricky Bobby, is saying grace at that time. Now, I would recommend you watch it because it's really funny, but don't have children in the room when you do, because the language is a little bit rough. But he begins his grace, his prayer, by praying to little bitty baby Jesus, right? And as the prayer goes on, his wife interrupts him and says, why are you always praying to the baby Jesus? You know, Jesus was a grown man with a beard. Why are you just focus on the baby? He said, well, I just happen to like Christmas Jesus the best. That's the Jesus I want. I'm going to pray to 8-pound, 6-ounce Christmas Jesus, and y'all can pray to whoever you want to pray to. I like Christmas Jesus best. Well, I could go with that, right? Give me Jesus, that innocent baby in the manger, right? Or maybe you're singing, give me Jesus, you know, the Jesus that heals the sick and gives sight to the blind, helps the lame to walk. Or maybe you're singing, give me the Jesus who's so human in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing over what's coming, that horror of death on the cross. Maybe that's the Jesus we want, because we would have felt that way too. I kind of like the Jesus who kept putting the Pharisees in their place, and the Jesus who likes to take little children into his lap, says, bring them to me. Most of all, I kind of like the risen Jesus, right? He's cooking breakfast on the beach for the disciples after they've been fishing. You remember that story? And then he shares his peace with them. I like all those Jesuses. Don't you? Don't you like those? You can have all this world, but give me my sanitized, pasteurized, sweet 8-pound, 6-ounce infant baby Jesus. You can have all this world. Yet the world's still around us. And the world still teaches us a way very different than what you heard Jesus speak in that gospel. It was like that in Jesus' day. It's maybe more so now. In our gospel passage today, Jesus is preaching what in the Gospel of Luke we call the Sermon on the Plain. It's the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, but it's basically the same thing. But in Luke's version of the story, Jesus has gone up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well, give me that Jesus. I like that Jesus. Then he comes down from the mountaintop, and he sits down to teach and preach to this huge crowd that's gathered around him. He's called the disciples at this point in Luke, and he's done some healing, so they know what's going on. Some kind of miracle worker is in their presence, so they followed him, and they sat and waited for him to come down from that mountaintop. And if you read just before what we heard today, it's the Beatitudes, Luke's version of blessed are those, right? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are the poor. But Luke adds some things to that that Matthew doesn't have. He adds words, some woes, right? Woe to those who are rich. And woe to those who laugh now. And woe to those who are full. Kind of a little more grouchy Jesus in Luke than in Matthew, I think. And then he does what Jesus always does. He ups the ante. And I'm really not sure we want to be given this Jesus. He begins by saying, I say to you that, listen. Another translation I looked at preparing a sermon goes like this: but I say to you who are willing to hear. Are we willing to hear what's next? There's no doubt this is a hard teaching. It is so countercultural. And as I observe the world today, this seems to be more and more exceedingly difficult for Christians in America to follow. Give me Jesus, this Jesus. Think hard about it before you sing that song again. This Jesus says we must love our enemies. Love our enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Turn the other cheek. Does that come naturally for any of us? Give to everyone who begs from you, and don't expect anything back. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all know the golden rule, yet we rarely equate it to what preceded it in this passage. Jesus doesn't say, tolerate your enemies. He says, love them. He doesn't say, try to ignore those who hate you. Do something good for them. For them. Even them. I wonder if we could just skip this Jesus sometimes. It's hard stuff. I have no doubt that you have heard and perhaps joined in, lots of people, including me, bemoaning the state of civil discourse in our country. I tell you, I deeply worry about the impact of how we speak about and over one another, how social media allows vicious commentary for people hiding behind a computer keyboard, how political races seem to be all about finding dirt on opponents. They hire whole staffs to go and dig stuff up on people instead of talking about policy that could be good for all of us. And I want to tell you, that impact of how we have become is being felt by our children. They are listening and they are watching, and unfortunately they are learning. And worst of all, in my opinion, the people of God, church-going Christians, are right in the middle of all of it. We really do need Jesus. We need this gospel for today, Jesus. Because our very witness of the good news in Christ depends on us being willing to sing that song and let it be about all of Jesus. Word and action and spirit and heart and love and grace, but most of all, truth. Here's some of that Jesus truth. I believe this with all my heart, that as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of our Lord, we, you and I, all of us are called to a better way. A way of love. The opening collect for today says, Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. And then the collect prays, we prayed it together, for the sending of the Holy Spirit to pour into our hearts God's greatest gift, which is love. And that prayer concludes, without which whoever lives is accounted dead before you. Do we speak in love? Do we act in love? And not just for those who love us back. As Jesus said, everybody does that. Right? We're not everybody. We're called to a better place, to be better people, to lead out there with some Jesus truth. Here's some more of it. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will all be given back to you. And what is given back to us? Love, life, freedom, forgiveness. Look, this is not a prosperity gospel message. I've heard it preached that way far too often, that this is about the more money you give, the more money you can get back. You ever heard a preacher tell you that? This has nothing to do with money. This is about giving love and receiving love back. What we give in the context of this gospel we heard is love for even our enemies. Love that does not judge us either. Love that forgives us also when we forgive. Love that will never, ever condemn us. That's a gift, folks. You have it. I have it. It's given to us by Jesus. If we can step above the fray and resist the temptation to engage in the awful way the world is leading us to be with one another, especially with those for whom we may disagree. So I wonder, can Christian Republicans love Democrats? Can Christian Democrats love Republicans? Can Christians love Muslims and vice versa? Can white people love people of color and vice versa? And can we also refrain in that love from judging and instead focus on the forgiveness part? And maybe that's the wrong question. It shouldn't really be about can they. Of course they can. The question is, will they? Will we? Will we? And by our example, spread the good news of Jesus to a world that needs it so badly. I think Jesus is pretty insistent about it. And what we receive in return is abundant life. Life right here, right now. Not just pie in the sky by and by, but our lives change because we follow these things. This bit in the gospel about the measure pressed down and shaken, that's a metaphor using the practice of buying grain. If you're buying grain in the marketplace, the amount of grain fills the lap of the robe of the one selling it, right? And to get the correct measure, to get all of it you're supposed to get, you want that vendor to shake it down, right? You understand what that's like? And just push it and shake it and push it and shake it till it fills up that area in the lap of the person. Make room for more and more and more. Make it a fair deal until it's just running over. It's just spilling out everywhere. It's affecting others. So much real life, so much real grace, such an abundance of Christ-like love. Every one of us can give that to the world. It is for you and it's for me and it's for all of us who are called to this higher way. But we have to heed the call. We Christians, we must be the ones who rise above it all. We must be the ones who, instead of lashing out and name-calling, disparaging others, we will lift them up and we will profess our love to them. And we will refuse to judge, leaving that for Jesus. Look, it's way above our pay grade anyway. We must be such disciples exhibiting forgiveness that others see it and say, that's really a better way. I want some of that. I want what you've got. Can you teach me that? And what do we have? We have Jesus. All of him. Give us Jesus. Now look, I understand this gospel is a hard teaching. And these are Jesus' words, not mine, right? So take it up with him if it's offensive. But I want you to think about it. I want you really maybe seriously give some time to committing yourselves to following what Jesus asked us to do in this gospel. Pray about it, what it means. Maybe entering into Lent, which we will in another week and a half, is a time that you can spend reading this gospel passage over and over again and asking God to help you do these things, to guide you and to fill you with that love, to inspire you to be someone who asks for all of Jesus. All of Jesus, and who was forever changed in that asking and receiving. Now, in a minute when I finish, I want us to sing that song again. And I want you to stand if you're able. And this time when you sing the words, "Give me Jesus," how will you mean it? What Jesus are you talking about? I hope you'll sing, "Give me the real Jesus," that meddling, heart-changing, world-saving Jesus. He's not sanitized at all, folks. And that is the only Jesus who can make a difference in our lives and in the lives of all in the world that we come in contact with. Let them see in you that Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? The measure you give, pressed down, shaken, overflowing, that's the measure you get back. Let's sing. Please stand if you can.